flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this Drew Aller kid, he's pretty good. Look at their run game. I talked myself into James Franklin in a big game. I got nobody to blame but myself. I'm making FanDuel donations over here. That's what I am. I'm making FanDuel donations. They don't need any more money. I'm happy to give it back to them, though. They're not going to ever catch me slipping again. Rob, I'm sure there's somebody that's on your parlay ban list. Like, there's a player that every time you bet on him, he just plays terrible. He runs for 32 yards or he shoots 1 for 9 from the field. I have to put Penn State on the parlay ban list. Never again will I bet American currency on Penn State to do anything other than lose an important game. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We're going to continue our trip around the National Football League. We were just in Houston. Let's go to Los Angeles and be joined by Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers for The Athletic. Daniel, man, happy to have you on the show today, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I guess the first question is, how are you? Are you good? There's obviously a lot going on in the where you live. Are you good?
Yeah, we're all safe. Been a week of madness and chaos, devastation and destruction. So it's been a difficult week. My apartment was about 3 miles south of the evacuation zone, south of the Palisades fire on the coast. My sister-in-law evacuated to our place. It was a nervy week, but we made it through okay. And I actually just got to Houston about an hour ago, and I'm talking to you from my hotel room in Houston.
People were giving me a lot of grief for liking this Chargers team. There were only 3 teams in the AFC that won more games than the Chargers. They were the 3 contenders in the AFC. I don't think that this Chargers team can make a deep run and win the Super Bowl or anything, but this is a team that has a good coach, a good quarterback, and one of the best defenses in the league. This Chargers team, I think, is a little bit dangerous heading into the postseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, those 3 things are what you're looking for when you're heading into the postseason. Like, do you have a coach that you feel like gives you an advantage? I think Jim Harbaugh does that in terms of the culture that he's built and how he prepares his players. Do you have an elite quarterback? The Chargers have an elite quarterback. And do you have a reliable defense? And that's probably been the biggest story of the season for the Chargers in terms of how they've turned this around. Defensive coordinator Jesse Minter really getting a lot out of the players that return, getting a lot out of the additions that they made via free agency, trade, the draft. And they have all 3 of those things. And if you have all 3 of those things, you're going to be able to be competitive in these playoff games. And I think that's what will happen here in Houston and if they win moving forward.
What changes have you seen in Los Angeles with the arrival of Harbaugh? We had a lot of conversations, you and I, in the past about Brandon Staley. This team seems far improved from those teams. Where's the biggest differences, biggest changes you've noticed now with this coaching change?
Yeah, I think when you bring in a guy like Jim Harbaugh, who has as much experience as he has and has won as many different places as he has, you just raise the floor. And so you go and you look through the Chargers season, like they have gone into games where they had a talent advantage and where they should win and they've won. And that's a big difference from how it's been with the Chargers in years past. You know, I sort of the juxtaposition that I've offered to a bunch of people is sort of, the Chargers go into New England a couple weeks ago and they beat the brakes off the Patriots 40-7 to make the postseason and clinch their spot. That game was 2 days after Christmas, no Christmas hangover, and they get their job done and handle business against a bad team. Now, if you go back to 2021, Brandon Staley's first year in charge, they go to Houston, ironically enough, and play the Texans the day after Christmas. They were 8-6. They were in the mix for the playoffs. This was a game they should have won. The Texans were really bad, and they laid an egg. They gave up 41 points to a bad Texans team. They lost 41-29. Rex Burkhead went for like 150 yards on the ground. And so you look at those two games, very similar situations. You're in the playoff hunt. It's a couple days after Christmas. There's a potential for a Christmas hangover. On one hand, with Jim Harbaugh, they're prepared and they handle business. On the other hand, with Brandon Staley, they lay an egg and they end up missing the playoffs in that season. So you go through the list of these games they've gone into at the Browns, you know, at home against the Saints, you know, at the Panthers in week two, where they've gone into these games and they've just handled business against bad teams. And it's a big reason why they're here. And I give a lot of credit to Jim Harbaugh for how he prepares the team week after week.
Daniel, it's crazy to say this, but it kind of feels like now Justin Herbert went from, to me, maybe being a little bit overvalued probably 18 months ago to now not being respected enough and just not being talked about. We're talking about a quarterback that almost threw for 4,000 yards this year, had 23 touchdowns, and only had 3 interceptions this year with the over 100 quarterback rating. It feels like whenever we talk about the young star quarterbacks in the league, it kind of feels like Herbert's name is now starting to be left off that list.
Yeah, I mean, not for me. I mean, I watch the guy every week, and I've been covering him since he joined the league in 2020, and I've been telling everybody that he's elite that entire time, and my opinion hasn't really changed. I think, like, a big part of this when you're talking about, like, national narratives is winning in the postseason. And you talk about young quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, you know, even throw Patrick Mahomes into that mix, the guys that are really the elite of the elite and the guys that are talked about in that manner, they've won in the playoffs. And Justin Herbert, to this point, does not have a playoff win on his resume. You know, went into Jacksonville, they had a big lead, and obviously we all know what happened in that game. That's the only playoff game he's played in. And so I think to get him into that conversation in terms of a national narrative standpoint, he's got to win the playoffs, and I think that's why this is a big opportunity for him. But, like, I'll tell you this, the last three games that he's played, Broncos in week 16, Patriots in week 17, the Raiders in week 18, I would put this three-game stretch up against any three-game stretch he's had in his career. Like, he's balling. He's protecting the football. I think he's been able to show off his legs a little bit as he's gotten healthier. And then some of the playmaking and throws that he's making are up there among some of the best plays that he's made in his career. So he's rolling on all cylinders, and he has a defense to support him. And I think a big part of this season for him has been realizing that he doesn't have to shoulder the entire franchise. And I think that's what Jim Harbaugh has brought.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Popper of The Athletic. He covers the Los Angeles Chargers. The stats would suggest that the Chargers have the best defense in the league. Do you feel like they have the best defense in the league?
No. They're like the 10th to 15th best defense, somewhere in there. I think they feasted on bad offenses, which is why you see the scoring defense title technically for them. They're good. They're improved. But they're gettable in certain areas. You know, I think, like, they have to sort of get into the right game script to be really dominant on defense. And that is, you know, stop the run, get into advantageous downs and distances, and let their pass rushers really get after the quarterback. When they've been able to get in those game scripts, they've been really good. But they're susceptible at times to the back end. On the back end, I think they're improved against the run, but not great against the run. And they've had some down moments here in the second half of the season, you know, whether it was against the Ravens, obviously that Bucs game was bad, the first half against the Broncos, where they've been gotten a little bit by some better offenses. So they're very improved. They're good. I think they're, like, reliable in terms of, like, you're going to get a certain level of preparation and play out of them, but I don't think they're necessarily, like, the best defense in the league. They're probably, to me, you know, around 10th to 12th, somewhere in that area.
I want to jump back to the offense for just a bit. I think Ladd McConkey has had a phenomenal season. He was a guy that in Kansas City was kind of thrown out as one of the names. They ended up getting Xavier Worthy, and it certainly worked out for Kansas City, worked out for the Chargers as well. Tell us a little bit more about the season that he's had. And Quentin Johnston, on the flip side, was a guy who was also being talked about. I feel like he hasn't maybe lived up to expectations that people had for him.
Do you know that he had 13 catches for 186 last week?
Yeah, just this whole year, just a lot of it has been just, to me, he doesn't make a lot of those kind of simple routine plays. His hands are a little shakier than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, so I'll start with Ladd. I mean, coming out, watching him at Georgia and watching the film, you know, during the draft process, like, it was very evident that he had everything you needed to be a really good player in the league. The route running was already at an NFL level. He had, you know, 4.39 speed, his understanding of leverages and defenses, great hands, good in contested catch situations, a really a complete player. The issue for me heading into the season was, you know, the durability. He had a number of injuries at Georgia. He's not a particularly big guy. And so could he withstand the entire season, be able to stay on the field? He's been nicked up, but to his credit, he's battled through an ankle injury, he's battled through a shoulder injury, he's battled through a knee injury, he's battled through a toe injury, and he's been able to be really effective. And I think the big thing is that Justin Herbert likes players that have all of those things that I sort of listed, like good route runner, you know, understanding of leverages, friendly to the quarterback in terms of working back to the football so he's not putting the ball in harm's way. And there's been a lot of trust that's developed as a result. Now, I think they're different players, but Keenan Allen had a lot of those things, which is why I think Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen developed such a strong relationship. But yeah, Ladd is legit. He's pretty much the only guy on the roster that can consistently beat man coverage. And they've been doing some interesting things in terms of some bunch formations and stuff to get him open in the second half of the season. So he's a star, full-fledged. Now, with Quentin, he obviously had a tough rookie season, but I started noticing, even in OTAs and then through training camp, that he was a vastly improved player. He's a better route runner. He's better off the line of scrimmage. He's more deceptive in how he plays. He's just more well-rounded as a receiver. He's improved in really all areas, some of the finer details of the position. And I think you've seen that. I mean, he has 8 touchdowns on the season. You know, he's come up with some big catches. You know, I think that game, you know, where he had, you know, like I said, 13 catches for 186 yards last week was really like a big step forward to him and maybe the culmination of what had been like an impressive amount of improvement when you watch him on film. He obviously had drops this season. He had a big drop against the Ravens, but he's been better in contested catch situations. And I think that, you know, when he was drafted, he was a developmental project. And I give receivers coach Sanjay Lal a ton of credit for getting a lot more out of Quentin Johnson than I certainly expected. And he's really improved as a player, in my opinion.
Last question here. We talked about pressure for some of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. I kind of feel like Herbert should at least be in that conversation. He's obviously not going to be number one, not a lot of Super Bowl expectations for them, but Herbert is too good of a quarterback to not have a playoff win at this stage in his career.
Yeah, I agree. I think like at a certain point, he signed the big contract. He's being paid like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And so, you know, I would expect him to go out tomorrow in Houston and have a really, really good game and lead the Chargers to a win. Now, you know, part of it too is that like sometimes you're going to need help from other areas of the roster. And I think the reason why I think they're going to win tomorrow is because he's playing at a high level. I expect a good performance from him. I expect him to get his first playoff win. But I think you just have a more reliable defense and a more reliable team around him. You have better offensive line play. You got 2 really good tackles. The team around him is just better. But it's a big moment for him. In terms of like the national narrative and getting himself into that sort of discussion with some of these other guys, like this is when you have to show up. You got to go play a good game and you got to win.
That is our guy, Daniel Popper, joining us on the show today. Daniel, man, take care of yourself, man. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.